Amen. Thank you. Refocus. Love God. Love people. Seek the lost. And now make disciples. Love God. Love people. Seek the lost. And make disciples. If you knew that you had one last opportunity to speak truth in the people that had been your followers and those that you had poured into for 3 years, I would expect that if you knew these were the last words on this side of eternity, that this man, this Messiah, would speak to you in person, you might want to pay attention to what he had to say. I have had the opportunity, I guess is a proper word, to be at the bedside, to be in the room when people have left this life and gone on to eternity. More times than I would ever have wanted to be a part of that. But there is something in the life of a believer in those last moments that is just precious. There's peace, there's comfort, there's hope. I've even seen many times people just asking God, take me. There's much worse things than death for those that are believers. But this is Jesus ascending to heaven, not dying. They'd already seen his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And now he's leaving them physically, and he's trying to help them understand, what would he have them do? What would he have us do in these final words that he speaks to his followers? We know this as the Great Commission. I want you to understand that phrase, and many of you have heard it many, many times, but there's some of you that I know in a crowd this size, if I were to come up to you before church today and say, hey, give me the Great Commission, you would not have been able to do that. And I will probably never do that to you unless you're a deacon. I expect you to know some things maybe that everybody else doesn't know, right? Is that all right? Or staff, or one of my Sunday school teachers. I would never do it publicly or embarrass anybody. But when you leave today, and I'm not going to test you afterwards either, but I would want you to be able to speak clearly and understand clearly what is the Great Commission given by Jesus. The Great Commission. The reason I say that is I was reading a survey in the last few weeks as I was preparing this series, and they did a survey among Southern Baptists. And if you did not know, we are Southern Baptist. East Leesville is a Southern Baptist church. Now, we're Christian first, but we cooperate with Southern Baptist. And out of several thousand Southern Baptists, only about 30% could answer a survey about what the Great Commission is. And that's a shame, because it is our mission. There is not a church in America that needs to develop a mission statement, because Jesus has already given it to us. It is the Great Commission. Now, we can try to figure out how we're going to accomplish that, but we have already been given our mission. And we know in a military town that when those that are in charge give us a mission, our job is to carry it out. Jesus, who I promise you is the commander, has given us the mission, and it is our job to carry it out. Now, he's given us some leeway on how that happens, but he's given us very clear instruction on what that mission is. So much so, our main text today is Matthew 28, 16 through 20. But this commission, this mission appears in all four of the Gospels and in the book of Acts. And to start our understanding of the Great Commission, the Make Disciples portion of our Refocus series, I want us just to read through those passages. This will be a decent amount of scripture, but I know for a fact that you will hear something worth hearing today, because I give you the Word of God. Amen. The rest of it might not be worth hearing if it's mine, but as long as we stick to scripture, we know we've heard from the Lord. God is going to speak to you right now. Do you understand that? Every time we hear the Word of God, every time you read the Word of God, God is speaking to you. It is the Word of God. Do you understand? We take it lightly. It sits on our shelves or in the back seat of our cars. This is the Word of the Lord. If you say, God's never spoken to me, I know you've never read your Bible. You all right? You understand? God's Word, Matthew 28, verse 16. The 11 disciples traveled to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshiped, but some doubted. And Jesus came near and said to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. In Mark's gospel, we find the commission in Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16. It says, then he said to them, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. In Luke's gospel, Luke shares it this way, that Jesus said to them, this is what is written. The Messiah would suffer and rise from the dead the third day, and repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And look, I am sending you what my Father promised. As for you, stay in the city until you are empowered from on high. John's gospel, Jesus says this. Jesus said to them, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And after saying this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. And then Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. The Great Commission was the assignment granted to the disciples, and now in our generation, granted to us to fulfill in the name of Christ Jesus. This is our task. This is what God has called us to do. But in this commission, I want you to see three main points of focus. Three main points of focus in this commission that I want you to understand. When you leave this place, that you will have an understanding of what the assignment is and how you are to accomplish it. The first main point I want you to see of focus is the source of our power. Look in our primary text, Matthew 28, beginning there in verse 18. Once again, Jesus came near and said to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Our source of authority, our source of strength, our ability to accomplish this mission is in Christ Jesus. The authority has been granted to him. But I think it's interesting, if you look at the other examples of the commission in the other gospels, look what they say. John 20, verse 21, I remind you, I just read it, but here's what it says about our authority. Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. As God sent the Son is sending us with his authority to accomplish the task. Luke 24, verse 49, Jesus told them to tarry in the city, stay in the city until you are empowered from on high. You remember what happened, right? Jesus told them in Luke 24, stay in Jerusalem until you receive power. What was that power going to be? The Holy Spirit himself was going to come and take up residence in their life. When did that happen? Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit comes, they are filled with power, and then they begin the mission. And the mission is not yet over. The mission is still ours to take. In what power? The authority of Christ and the power of the Spirit. It can't be by our creativity or our cool plans or our ideas, although there's certainly a place for those things, because God has given us individuals with different talents and different ideas and different creativity, but it must be. If it will last and if it will accomplish the mission, it's got to be through Christ's power. All authority, Jesus said, has been granted to him. Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. The first point I want you to focus on is understanding God's given us this mission, but we cannot do it outside of his power. We might see little tidbits of things happen if we do it in our strength or in our ability. But my friends, I would ask you to join me in praying a prayer that I've prayed every day for about 6 months now. I've prayed it many times before 6 months ago, but for about 6 months now, I've been praying this every day. God, I need your presence and your power. And then I stop. God, I just need your presence. Because can I just assure you, with his presence comes his power. I need more of God's presence in my life. You need more of God's presence in your life. Our community needs more of God's presence. And as it extends beyond these walls, we are the instruments that he has normally chosen to use. He doesn't have to. He could snap his fingers and change whatever he desired to change. But in his sovereignty and in his will and in his plan, he has chosen to use us. And I, your pastor, stand before you without any shame and admit to you, I am desperately and utterly dependent upon the presence of God. I beg for it. May you beg with me that God would show us his presence. He will accomplish more in a glimpse of his presence and his power than we could in 20 lifetimes. I did my dissertation, my PhD was on spiritual awakenings, revival movements. He's done it before. I'm begging him to do it again. He said, why would he do something like that in Leesville, Louisiana? Well, he's got a lot of his people here. And as I begin to think and dream about what God might do through this place, we kind of have a strategic location. I think there's several reasons. One, God's going to bring people literally from all over the country and all over the world to our doorsteps. And then many of them are going to be sent literally all over the country and all over the world, and somebody else is going to pay for it. And God can use it for his glory. And I have great confidence that if God were to start a movement in Leesville, Louisiana that touched the world, I believe God would absolutely get the credit for it. Because there's a lot of places that say, well, that was all those great big churches and that was all those great big ministries. People are going to say, Leesville? Where's Leesville? And understand that God did something that only God can do. Do you hear me? We need his presence. What's our authority? What's our power? It's Christ Jesus through his Holy Spirit. It's clear in the text. Our authority is through Christ Jesus. That's the first point I want you to focus on. Here's the second point. I want you to see the commands. The commands. You may have heard messages on the Great Commission that I always share with you. There's one imperative. There's one command in the Great Commission. And technically, I understand where they're coming from, but I believe there's another imperative in the text. There's another command in the text that we need to be reminded of, and it takes me back to my first point. Where's our authority? Where's our strength? And if you read the Great Commission, some people think the command in the Great Commission is to go. That's not the command. That's a participle. If you're an English major or you know English, that's a participle. It's not an imperative. Well, maybe it's to baptize. Well, that's a participle. It's not an imperative. Well, maybe it's to teach all things. Again, a participle, not an imperative. There's one main imperative, one main command, one thing that Jesus is commanding us to do. And the command, the imperative in this text is to make disciples. Go, therefore, and make disciples. The imperative is make disciples. Make disciples. It's not to baptize people, though we're supposed to baptize people as what? As a part of making disciples. It's not to go, although I believe in the way that Jesus gives it, it's an action. It takes action to make disciples. You don't make disciples by osmosis. Disciples don't accidentally make themselves. It's a process. We need to go. And some want to say, as you're going, that's fine. But I want you to understand, as you're going, the word go means action. You have to be intentional to obey the command that Jesus has given us to make disciples. You have to have some sort of process. You have some sort of action. In the next few months, you're going to hear over and over and over again the processes that I'm going to start putting in place that when people walk on this campus from the time they enter the parking lot to the time we lay them in the ground, there will be a plan to make disciples and to enable them to make disciples. It's going to take work. If you want to come and sit and be comfortable and feel good about everything that comes out of the preacher's mouth, you probably will want to go to a different church. If you want to come and hear what God has commanded us to do and be encouraged to do that and be challenged to do that and to have another flawed human being lead you and how we can best figure that out, then this is a place that you would want to be. If you're a member of East Leesville Baptist Church, I'm given about a 6 to 12 month grace period, but after that, I want to know where you're serving. I want to know where you're making disciples. And if you're not, I want to know why not and why you're rebelling against God and disobeying his command. I'm going to be nice, I promise. I'm going to be nice. I'm going to be loving. But that's the thing he's told us to do. His authority, his power, but that is the command to make disciples. But there is a second imperative in the text, and I didn't really notice it until I'd studied the passage for years. Honestly, I didn't notice it until I took Greek, but you don't have to have taken Greek to see it here. I'll show it to you. I promise you my Greek is somebody gives it to me that's smarter than me, and then I can communicate it. But in the text, it says that our command is to make disciples. But if you look down there in the text in verse 20, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you, and remember... The word there, remember, in the CSB, and remember, the word remember is an imperative. Jesus is commanding us to remember. What? What's he commanding us to remember? I am with you always to the end of the age. So here are the commands. Make disciples. Make disciples. Make disciples. And the other command is remember, it's only through me you can do it. That's Jesus talking. Remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. What do we have here in the command? We have the mission and the means by which we accomplish the mission, and it's through Christ Jesus. So the focus points. One is, where's our authority? In Christ Jesus and through his Holy Spirit. Two, what is our command? To make disciples. And how do we accomplish it? Back to the first point, to Jesus, who is with us always to the end of the age. But in that mission, in that command, there's content. Go, it's action. Baptize. We've got to make disciples. You've got to have believers. Those that are lost can't be disciples because they're not followers of Jesus. And so we have to share the gospel with them. We have to bring them to Christ. And then the third thing, here's the doozy. Here's where the work is. Here's where it never ends. Jesus says, teach them all things, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. There's a lot in here that Jesus commanded us. Now, we can make it pretty simple, and I'm going to get there at the end and kind of wrap this whole series up, and you're probably not going to be surprised by that wrapping, but do not raise your hand in answer to this question, because if you do, you may be embarrassed as I continue. But I would hope there is no one in here that would dare say, you have got it all figured out and you're obeying everything and know everything that Jesus taught us to know and to do. I'm in this journey. I've been at it for 37 years following Jesus. I've wasted a lot of that time with things that don't honor Jesus. Y'all right? I haven't always followed him even greatly. I've never followed him perfectly. There's been times I'm not even following him much at all. There hadn't been too many of those lately. But from that 8 to 18 years, I don't know that I grew a whole lot except as much as a 8-year-old and a 10-year-old and a 12-year-old that mom and dad made go to church. My dad was a good preacher and my dad was solid. My parents were great, but I wasn't walking with Jesus. I was saved. I'd read my Bible because mama made me. But when I went off to college, God grabbed a hold of my heart. I didn't get saved again, but I understood it's about a relationship, not a religion. And I follow Jesus, and I promise you, I just tell you, I don't say this to discourage you, but to encourage you in humility, is the more I learn about Jesus, the more I realize I don't know. But how sweet it is to walk with him and to grow in all these things that he has commanded us. Because I promise you, his way is the best way. His way is the way of blessing. His way is the way of peace. Oh, it's not a way of easiness, and it's not a way without struggles, and it's not a way without trials. Anybody to tell you that is a false teacher, but it is the greatest way. I promise you, to walk with Jesus through the greatest trials this world could offer is better than to walk without him in what this world thinks is blessedness. But to teach them all things. How do we do that at East? I already mentioned to you our small group. I want us to do that in our small groups. We do that in our large setting. Everything we do is going to be and should be about what Jesus has taught us and commanded us to do. We want to know Christ and to know him better and to make him known. But if all you get is what you get on this campus on Sunday mornings or even Wednesday nights, you're malnourished. You need to get alone with God, spend time with God. You need to have relationships in your life that challenge you to walk closer with Jesus. You and your spouse need to walk together and challenge one another to love Jesus more. You need to disciple. We need to disciple our children and our family. We need to be walking in these things and teaching these things to our children. I need men. I need to lead my family as the spiritual leader of our home and disciple my wife and my children. And as I disciple them, they help to disciple me, but I need to man up and lead my family. And so do you, men. You can't lead your family where you're not going. So you got to walk with Jesus. I'll help you with that. I do not have it figured out, but I'm a decent way down that road figuring it out. And we can come alongside each other. I've never had a discipleship relationship with a man that I was pouring into that he didn't help me walk closer to Jesus as well. No matter how short he'd been in the journey, no matter how further behind he was or how close or how far ahead he was, we learn from each other. You need to be connected in Sunday morning. You need to come to church. The Bible shows us that. I'll deal with a text in my One Another series that shows us clearly you ought to come to church. It's part of being a believer. You ought to be connected to the body with one another. But we need to do this. Not if it's just Sunday morning, you're missing the whole point of following Jesus. This is the regroup, be encouraged, come together and bear one another's burdens and love one another to go out and accomplish the mission that Christ has given us. It should happen in our family. It should happen in one-on-one relationships. I believe we all need at least three different types of discipleship relationships in our lives, at least three different types. I believe you need a Paul, a Timothy, and a Barnabas in your life. Let me explain to you what I mean by that. Paul was the Apostle Paul, right? You know, about half of the New Testament was written by Paul. Timothy was a disciple of Paul. He poured into Timothy. Titus was a disciple of Paul. He poured into Titus. And there's several others. At the end of most of Paul's letters, he'll start naming people that he's spent time with and poured into. We all need a Paul, somebody that is pouring into us. The Pauls in my life, or my dad, Roger Kiker, was a Paul. Paul Childers is one of my Pauls. His name happened to be Paul, P-A-U-L. I'm not talking about Donnie Perkins. I'm talking about Paul, P-A-U-L, right? Everybody calls him Paul, P-A-W. And I thought his name was Paul for like the first 3 months I was around East Leesville. You need somebody that's pouring into you. Somebody that's a little bit further along in the journey. That has walked with Jesus a little longer than you have. So that they can I tell you, your pastor needs those relationships and will maintain those relationships in his life. But then you also need some Timothys. I already gave you the relationship, right? Paul poured into Timothy. So you need somebody that's pouring into you, but you need somebody else that you're pouring into as well. Somebody that's not quite as far along in the journey. Can I tell you, if you've walked with Jesus 2 days, there's somebody that's only walked with him with one. Do you hear me? How mature of a Christian do you need to be to pour into somebody else? You need to be at least a day old, probably. You need to be saved. But if you know enough of the gospel to be saved, you know enough of the gospel to tell somebody else how they can be saved. If you have a bunch of questions, you know somebody else that has a bunch of questions too, and you can try to figure them out together. But you need somebody that you pour into as well. Because listen, if all you get is poured into and poured into, it just kind of sits there. It's kind of like the Dead Sea. It gets useless and dead, you see. That was so corny. Oh, shucks. Some of y'all get that later. You need to be poured into, but you need to pour into somebody else. Paul, Timothy, and then Barnabas. What was Barnabas known for? He was the son of encouragement. You need a bunch of Barnabases, however you say that plural, right? People that encourage you, that you're in the journey together. You know where I think most of your Barnabas will come from? And oftentimes just naturally can come from? That small group you connect with at the church, that Sunday school class or that Bible study or that men's group or that ladies group or that couples class or whatever, you need to be seeking that. God did not intend us to follow Jesus and fulfill this mission by ourselves. He meant for us to do it together with one another. You need those relationships in your life. You need to fulfill this command to make disciples. You need to remember that Jesus is with you always to the end of the age, and we need to do this together. Point of focus, what's our source of authority? Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Point of focus, what is our assignment? is to make disciples. Point of focus. What's our harvest field? What is the audience? That's the easy one. I think the text makes that more clear than any of the others. Look what he says. Make disciples of what? A few people that you might come in contact with. Is that what it says? Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. All nations. In Mark 16:15, he says, go into all the world. Luke 24:47 says, to all nations. Acts 1:8 says, in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Actually, that's Acts 1:9. Acts 1:8 is, but you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit's come on you. But in Judea, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost. Who's our audience? Every living soul that walks the planet. Do you understand the mission that God has given us? It's to reach the world with the gospel and make disciples of all nations. Do you understand we cannot do this in our strength? But I am just full of enough faith to believe that if God has called us to do this, I understand I can't do it and we can't do it in our strength, but He can in and through us. The Great Commission is our assignment. How will we do it? Oh, we're working on it. There's a lot of great ministries already in place at this family called East Leesville Baptist Church. There's a lot of things that already happened that are wonderful that I would encourage with all that's in me for you to plug into, and we're going to talk about them in the days and weeks and months and years and decades ahead, places where you can plug in and serve in a real way to take the gospel to this community, to this parish, to this state, to this nation, and to the nations. But we need Jesus. We need God's presence. Here's application I would give you. I think as we look at these three main points of focus, the power, the authority that we have in Christ, the command to make disciples, to remember that He's with us always, and the audience, which is all of the world, I just really believe in this whole refocus series. Let me do as I believe Jesus did in this gospel and just bring it down to a simple statement of two main areas of obedience. If you can take all the commands in the New Testament that we hear from Jesus and what He tells us to do, I believe He's already done this for us. How do you narrow this down from the very beginning to the very end? How do we simplify this? I believe Rick Warren put it best, and whatever you think of Rick Warren, I think this statement is absolutely true. He put it this way: a great commitment to the great commandment and the great commission will build a great church. A great commitment to the great commandment and the great commission will build a great church. What's the great commandment? If you don't know it by heart by now, you hadn't been here the last few Sundays, you're telling on yourself a little bit, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, and all your mind is the first and the greatest of all the commandments. And like unto it is the second, love your neighbor as yourself. Love God, love people. You might would think that I'm trying to get these core values from the Bible itself, right? I'm not just making these things up as I go. Love God and love people, the great commandment, the great commission. Go into all the nations and make disciples, baptizing them. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Great Commission, seek the lost and make disciples. The Great Commandment, love God, love people. The Great Commission, seek the lost and make disciples. What are we going to be about as a people at East Leesville Baptist Church? Love God, love people, seek the lost, and make disciples. Some of you are getting tired of hearing me say that, and some of you are starting to get it. The Great Commandment and the Great Commission sums up what Christ has called us to do. How are we going to do it? In what way are you growing as a disciple of Christ? I don't want to oversimplify this to you, but you've got to spend time with Jesus. How faithfully are you reading His Word? Are you hearing from God? I'm not talking about an audible voice. I'm talking about something much louder than that. His Word, saved through the centuries, guarded by the Holy Spirit, granted to us that at any moment in our free nation, you can get alone and hear the Word of God anytime you want to. You don't even have to have a printed copy. My phone's on the front row. You can have your phone or you can have your iPad, your computer. You can hear from God anytime you want to. You have heard from God this morning. So, preacher, that's an arrogant attitude about your sermon. I read Scripture, so you heard from God. I taught through the Scripture, and as I was faithful to the Scripture, you have heard from God Himself. If there's anything in that great commandment, the Great Commission you don't like, don't take it up with me. Take it up with the one who said it, who wrote it. Spend time with Jesus. How are you growing as a disciple? And is there in any way, fashion, you can tell me that you're laboring to make disciples? If you're a mom and a dad, I promise you, your first disciples you need to be working on are the children that God has granted to you. That's your first assignment. But beyond even your family, how are you making disciples? How are you, men, how are you leading your family to follow Jesus and to grow in Christ? I want to help you. But you don't need me. If you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit of God. I might need you more than you need me. Let's help each other to lead our families to make disciples. I was going to do this morning, but I just want to save it for another time. I've got a process. I've got a plan. But Lord, help us. We don't need my plan. We need to beg God to move in our presence. We need God's strength. We need God's power. We need His presence. So here's what I'm asking you to do in responding. God's called you and God's called me to make disciples. That is indisputable. That is, thus saith the Lord. So our response is, how are we doing? How are we walking in that? What needs to happen for me to be an instrument that God can use more effectively for His glory? What needs to be taken out of my life? Sin or disobedience or rebellion or apathy? For me to be used by God? What needs to be added to my life? Where do I need to obey? Some of you, God's called you to some very specific things. So some of you, God's already told you what it is, and for some reason, you think it's really a good idea to disobey God, and I don't understand that. I understand being scared. I understand not wanting to do something. But if God's told you to do something, you just need to do it. Can I just tell you, God's going to win that battle at some point. It's just a matter of how much it's going to cost along the journey. So just obey God and what He's told you to do. If you've never been saved, you can't make disciples. You can't make something that you're not already yourself. You can't lead somebody in something you're not doing yourself. I want to help you do that. I can't save you. If I could, you'd all be saved. I'd make it happen. But Jesus has paid the price for you to be saved. His forgiveness is ready and available no matter what your sin. Oh, that's good news, is it not? Aren't you glad that His grace is greater than our sin? 1 John 1:9 is one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. If we confess our sin, you know what confess means? That means to agree with God. Really, all you do when you confess is say, God, you're right. When we confess our sin, He is faithful and He is just to forgive us of our sins. Aren't you glad for God's forgiveness? But that verse doesn't stop there. Not only does He forgive us, but the Bible says, 1 John 1:9, He forgives us and He cleanses us of all unrighteousness. That's some dirty bathwater right there. That's all I'm saying. But He is effective in His forgiveness and in His cleansing. But we've got to ask. We've got to confess. We've got to give ourselves to Him. He does the work. He's finished the work. He's just waiting for some of you just to come to him. I'm begging you, come to him, but I can't make you. If I could, it wouldn't be worth having. But if God's drawing you, just surrender. You need to be saved. You come, we'll share with you how you can be saved. It's not anything special we can do. It's what he's already done. You know there's an area of your life that's just not right with him. You don't need some preacher to guilt you. You don't need somebody to judge you. The Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God, if you're saved, has already told you it needs to change. Can I just beg you, obey Christ. It will be best for you and your family if you obey Jesus. Humble yourselves and obey Jesus. If there's some place that's just keeping you from being the disciple that he, if there's sin, if there's some issue, just deal with it. He is ready to forgive and cleanse. Can I just tell you, I've dealt with those things. I deal with those things first thing in the morning, every day. There's no place in my life right now where there's open rebellion. I'll just tell you, there's places all the time where sin can pop up, and it does. Y'all all right? I'm just being real. And I deal with it quick. I mean quick, because I don't have time for it to get any kind of hook. There's too many things going on. It would endanger me and my ministry and my family, my reputation, and so I deal with it quick. If you cut me off in traffic, I might sin, but I deal with it before you get out of my sight. I'm just saying. I'll tell you, I sin so little now in traffic here instead of in DFW. It's just a miracle of God. Praise the Lord. But I still have places where I struggle. Y'all okay? Let's just be real. I struggle with things. I sin. Y'all all right with that? You know your preacher's a sinner? But I'm saved by grace. It's covered by the blood, and I confess it as soon as I get convicted. I just tell you, I don't hold on to it. Sometimes it's harder than it is to go to the ones that are affected and make that right, but I even get there eventually. But here's my main request in response to this word. God's called us to make disciples. God has given us a mission, and we can't do it unless he shows up. Unless his presence is real in this place. So would you join me as we respond? And let's just simply do this. Let's ask him to help us complete and fulfill the mission he has given us in our families, in this parish, in his church, in this region, in this nation, and in all the nations, that we would lay ourselves down and say, God, empower us to do what you've asked us to do. We can't do it, but we are in your hands. Would you beg him with me? Would you join me? It doesn't have to be in this altar, but you can. But wherever we stand or wherever you sit, and as we sing, would you at the least, God, do whatever it takes. Give us your presence so that we can do what you've called us to do. There's some step of obedience you need to make in that process. You come and tell me about that, but let's just ask God to give us his presence. Father, in the name of Jesus, I am convinced without any hesitation that you have called us to love you, to love people, to seek the lost, and to make disciples of all the nations. And we need your help. But Lord, I come, surrender myself before you, that whatever you would have me to do, to sacrifice, to take away, to add, my heart is to be obedient. Give us your presence. Whatever other need is in this place, beyond this task, Lord, I ask you would minister to each and every heart in whatever way they need this morning, but that you would have your presence in this place as we respond to your command, to your commission to us to make disciples. Lord, it's in Jesus' risen name we pray. Amen.